Welcome to Six Again, your go-to rugby league podcast with hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Newton. Let's kick off.
Hello and welcome into what looks to be a normal Six Again podcast again. We're kind of back on track. Adam and Jared here, and we are looking at the round 17 preview show. We've got four games on the slate with eight of the teams on their first bye, and not a whole lot's going on outside of the Reece Walsh move to the Broncos for 2023 and the dominoes that fell around that. So obviously we're going to talk about that, and it's going to make it sound like we caught up on things, but if you listen to last show, I wanted to throw a segment in there about hypothetical trades, and we didn't have time, so we're going to do that tonight, literally a day after Reece Walsh was traded to the Broncos, with looks as though Tamari Martin going the opposite way, and with Charles Nicol Cookstar part of it as well from the Raiders. So we'll dig into all that sort of stuff. All right. Anything going on, Jared, that you want to bring up before we get into it?
No. Unfortunately, I know it kind of gets the episode, but I've kind of ridden off this weekend. I'm teeing up for the Origin game already.
Yes. All right. I've got stuff to get him talking about things. Anyway, I'd completely forgotten about tipping and fantasy almost like the last 2 weeks. So I really want to focus on that this week and actually catch back up. So I dropped my lead and I don't like that. All right. We are going to start with some news out of the NRLW. So the NRL and NRLW put on the first rookie camp. So 35 youngsters from all six teams, current teams in the NRLW, met outside Newcastle for 2-day workshop. Basically, this has been in place at NRL level for quite a while, and it's an introduction to young players about all the things that go with being a professional athlete. And with the women's game becoming more and more popular each season, it's important for this education to start, and it has. So this is everything from handling your finances to social media to interacting with the public, all that sort of stuff. And it saw experienced players from the NRLW come in and talk and basically highlight what the youngsters and what professional rugby league for women in Australia hopefully will look like in the coming years. Did you see anything with regards to this, Jared? Because it looked like they were looked like a pretty decent setup there at the Caves. Yes,
it's good they're putting that much into it, just because, you know, NRL players currently don't know how to spend their money, so it's good they're it's good they're doing this. I like it. It's needed.
Yeah, it's very much so. And this is just another step in on the road of girls wanting to play rugby league as a professional. It could be even by next season the norm or a legitimate path.
I really hope that they put a big projector screen of, and it has one off one slide. Fuck off the media. The whole thing.
Oh, you can't really, because that's where all the money comes from, really. So
yeah, but the media don't need to know that happened.
Yeah, okay. True. luckily in Australia, players are allowed to market themselves as well outside the game. There's certain sports around the world where if you're a professional in that league, you're not allowed to do individual marketing or deals or endorsements or anything like that. It's lucky we don't have anything like that in place. So they do need to be able to work with the media, especially if they're trying to do their own brand. Think of Jess Sturgis with regards to that. We've seen that ad however many hundred of times, and I can't remember the brand to how well it's working. The one that Zach Lomax is on as well. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Anyway, protein powder or something. It's on like every second ad on Fox League. All right, let's jump to the big news of the week so far. So we know that the Warriors have moved back to New Zealand. supposedly 6 weeks ago. Well, I'm not going to say supposedly. This is the Warriors CEO said this, that Rhys Walsh and his agent came to them with regards to moving away from the Warriors based on a change in his personal life or personal circumstances. By the sound of it, him and his girlfriend broke up and
we're not going to get into it.
No, his daughter would be saying in Australia. That's as much as being. But that's the background why that's the change of circumstance that's been released. So he was under contract for the next season only with an option in his favour for 2024, should he have chosen to take it up. So we're looking basically at a one-year switch here. The Warriors, and I think the Warriors have handled this and everything, all the other players moving on pretty well. They're putting themselves above the players with regards to, if you want to leave, we don't want you here. Not that blunt, obviously, but they're moving on with what they need to do. They're not trying to draw things out, so credit to them. They only let Rhys Walsh talk to clubs once he told the Warriors which clubs he was interested in, and he only said the Broncos. And New Zealand didn't want a bidding war between clubs and all that sort of stuff. Like I said, they just wanted to move forward. So contact with the Broncos was made. It was very clear that he was not allowed to go to the Dolphins based on sour relationships between Warriors and Dolphins. And that's probably, that could come from anywhere, but it's most likely I'd say around location of where the Warriors have been playing.
Well,
and the Wayne Bennett situation.
Well, Wayne Bennett's been fucking with the media. We spent a bit of time on it last week. And with the whole Cam Munster situation, Wayne Bennett's been joking and messing around in the media about what's he think about Rhys Walsh as well. So all I can see from that is that Wayne Bennett's finally got his comeuppance for fucking around the media. It's not a big old joke to him anymore, is it?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. We'll never find that out. That'd be so, like, as a neutral in this situation, that'd be hilarious. It's extremely petty from both clubs, and I'm all here for that. I love that sort of stuff. It's so good. It's literally an argument. We're not letting him go there because of something you said. It's so good. Now, my first thought of this was how keen Rhys Walsh was to go to the Broncos, considering they were the club that let him go to start with. And the first thing I messaged Jared about today was Dave Donaghy and Ben Eichen.
Hold on, just before. We probably will hear about it, but Wally is fucking fuming about he hates Rhys Walsh at this point.
and I don't blame him. Personal circumstances change. That sucks. You're a pro sports person. If every player was leaving every club based on personal circumstances, there'd be players switching weekly. It's part of it where you just, it sounds really callous, but you got to suck it up sometimes and just see it through. The other side of that is we don't know to the extent of the personal reasons, and there's a huge scale on that. And then obviously things like this, big change like this, if it's on one end of the personal circumstances, kind of like a Felice Kaufusi having to go to America sort of thing, then yeah, sweet. But it's not for the club or the player to give out all the details. But I can see where a lot of people are going to be frustrated with this.
I
can't really comment.
I'm more mad about the reason he left. So I don't know if everyone remembers. When he left, he was told,
is leaving the Broncos, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're 18. You're green. And we're going to keep you on a development deal. And, you know, until we think you're good enough. He went, no, I'm better than a development deal, which, you know, he is NRL standard. But Kevin Walters' justification, it was just, at the time, it was the smartest thing I've ever heard the bloke said. He's like, I don't want to put him in the NRL too quickly where it might ruin it. Turns out it probably wasn't the best mantra for that situation, but part and fast of it, I feel like Kevin Walters felt that he had the right idea. And Reece Walsh went, essentially went, okay, here's all my lollies. They're now outside of my cot or toys, whatever you want to put it. I'm going to pick up a team, move 45 minutes north to the Warriors, and they're going to pay me ridiculous. I'm going to start in the fullback. Look, I actually believe Kevin Walters because I see Reece Walsh is still a work in progress as an NRL fullback. Mm-hmm. He is very talented. You cannot deny that. But he goes missing. He fluctuates in his form a fair amount. He goes both ways. And Kevin Walters pretty much just wanted another year of him playing reserve grade before he threw him in the middle in the number one at fullback jersey. And now, I don't know, and as Adam said, like, Warriors asked Reece Walsh what club he'd like to go to, and he said strictly Broncos. So I don't know if that's a retraction of, like, you know, he had a tanty, threw his toys or lollies out of the cot. Now he's going to go pick them up and sell back to dad, which Kevin Walters is.
I don't see it like that at all. I don't see the throw the things out of the cot.
He 100% did.
No, because he was there's told a difference he was going to be with... And that's fair, and that's a player backing himself. He's saying, okay, that's your decision. My decision is I feel as though I'm better and I'm going to try it out. He could have done that and no club picked him up.
He's a 19-year-old. Yeah, no.
That's the thing. Like if, and we know that he only left to get a starting position. If the other 15 clubs thought along the same lines as the Broncos, they'd be like, no, you're very talented, but... If you come to our club, you're going to be in our feeder side because we also don't think you're ready. If the other 15 clubs said that, he would have then ended up staying at the Broncos and, well, most likely.
Yeah, but Kevin Walters knew him better than anyone else.
I didn't see this throwing a tanny because I'm always on the player's side. You get the money where you can.
I 100%, but the fact that he only wanted to go back to the Broncos tells me that I know he's whatever it is, his partner lives there, whatever.
But I think if he had the choice for the Dolphins, it would have been there as well.
Nah.
You reckon?
Nah.
Anyhow.
I don't like it. I'm not a fan.
The NRL's got this loophole open. They could step in and say no, but they won't. And I don't think they can at this stage. So... with all this going on, it's from the 2023 season onwards, and Broncos are going to be paying him $1 million. $450, but with the third-party deals and all that that the Broncos can do that other clubs can't, being a one-town team. Either way, they can bulk it up to the $1 million price tag. So the other part of this was Warriors were adamant they weren't going to let him go until they found a player equal or better than him. And so they put feelers around and picked up Charles Nicoll-Cookstar from the Raiders and explained the situation. The Raiders were okay with it in the end. He's going back home. He's in Kiwi. His family's there. So he'll go to the Warriors for 2023 and most likely slot in as their fullback there, which will in turn help Canberra with all their youngsters of backs all trying to jostle for position. There's another position there available now. And it's also come out that there will be a player from the Broncos going to the Warriors. Most of that at the moment is to R.A. Martin, which again makes sense, another New Zealander, and there'll be a role for him at that club. So it's funny in that the most talented of the three players is most likely Reece Walsh. And the fit that he's going to makes the least sense for the club that he's going to out of the three, in my opinion. Nicoll-Cookstar going to the Warriors makes sense. He'll slot straight in at fullback. Tamari Martin, while having a good fist of it at fullback, it's not an out-and-out fullback. He'll be going to the Warriors most likely as their number 14, unless he can out... either Dejan Arce or Sean Johnson for a halves position. Like I said, Canberra frees up space, maybe give Xavier Savage a crack. They've got Harley Smith Shields, who's out this year as well. But then you got Walsh going to the Broncos. Now, where's he going to? Well, he say he slots in at fullback, okay, which is what we'd expect. Now, who had been until literally this week the Broncos' long-term plan at fullback? Pretty much starting next season, we would assume.
Yes, that's easy. Selwyn Cobbett, and he should be the long-term fullback.
He won't be anymore.
No, well, to be honest, I think in the long term, he's going to be a better fullback than Reece Walsh. So, for me, Reece Walsh needs to play six. It's the only other position he could play, really, when you think about it.
And that's why I was coming to, out of all this, Walsh back at the Broncos makes, I'm not going to say least amount of sense, but it creates the most, I guess, issues with regards to selection. So what we haven't seen, or I haven't seen yet, is whether the deal that he's going to the Broncos is longer than next season. At this stage, it looks as though it's $1 million for next season, 2023. Sorry?
It's a three-year contract.
Oh, three. Okay, cool. Yeah. Sorry. I was focused on that number from earlier. All right, three-year contract. So he's going to be playing fullback for the 3 years because Ezra Mamm's already locked in. He's re-signed. I did this research the other night because of the potential trades I was going to put up, and the Broncos are one of the teams in that, but that's not going to occur now because it's kind of throws a spanner work. So Mamm's signed through the end of 2024 already. Cobbo, we know, re-signed only last week through the end of 2025. So Cobbo, to me, is more versatile than Walsh is, and Walsh is going to play fullback. He could play a six, but we've seen, to me, he's a very similar style of player to Kalen Ponga. And Kalen Ponga is still developing areas of his game, and he's years down the track to what Reece Walsh is. And he was thrown at 5'8", another couple of seasons later than Walsh went there. And it didn't work out that flat. So I think Walsh is an out-and-out fullback in this league, and he doesn't have the size for anything else. So he's going to be the fullback.
In my opinion, I could play six. So it's getting smaller and smaller. So in my opinion, you're going to lose some young guns here because what people, when people are going, you know, because they're already looking like they're going to lose Jake Turpin.
They're not re-signing him.
But
they've they've already signed their dummy half in Blake Moser.
Yeah, well, that's what I was leaning towards. So they got Blake Moser. Tony Sags is one center. They just spent 3 months fighting the whole world off for Herbie Farnsworth.
Yeah.
He's staying.
Mm-hmm.
So he's an out-and-out center.
Yeah.
Cobbo's a winger. They've also got a young fella named Dean Mariner to come through the centers. And Adam actually spent a bit of time on him early in the year.
Yeah.
Gun center, supposedly a block between what, Bradman Best and someone good. I can't remember your comparison.
Yeah, it was Pace. Anyone with Pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Roberts, there you go.
Yeah, James Roberts. So, yeah. And so Dean Mariner, Blake Moser, that for me leaves Billy Walters out in the cold.
Yeah, well, he has no deal after this season.
Ezra Mann is, for me, the six moving forward, but, you know, I don't see them leaving Cobbo on the wing for a long period of time. I don't think that's going to be... I believe right now his best position is wing, why he's easing himself into the NRL, but long term, you know, 2020, halfway through next year to 2024, you can't be too good. Where do you fit Farnsworth, Staggs, Mariner, Moser, Billy Walters, Ezra Mann, Chris Walsh... you've got too much there to fit in the 17. Well, it's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
I don't think it's – you're going to lose some really strong – and for Broncos, the last thing they can afford to do is lose someone like Mariner.
Yes. So it depends who's going to be their wing next year opposing Cobbo will be one. It'll have to be Pereira. I'd say he's the only one signed. Because Oates has a player option for this season, but there's no point for the Broncos re-signing him.
Well, To be fair, I think he's actually been more consistent than
Cobbo. Oh, he has.
Cobbo.
He should be more consistent. He should be. He's experienced.
But like, I don't think they can afford. Like, they got Reynolds, but who else in that backline would have played 100 games? Because Staggs is probably the next most experienced, and he wouldn't have even cracked.
Yeah, but you said those they've got to be looking at future as well.
Well, you're saying there's already Moser in that 19s game.
Yeah, but he's a dummy half, doesn't matter.
No, hold up. He was out of depth in that 19s game.
Yeah.
He while his service at a dummy half was pretty safe, he wasn't flash the rest of it. No attacking real option. And that's what that's the love they have for Moser, because he can attack, whether the last couple of years since Berrigan haven't.
I don't see how this has got anything to do with it.
No, hold up. Mariner's behind him.
Mariner's a center.
What is he saying? They can't afford restock because they need to save for their juniors. They need to keep Oates for at least another 2 years until they work out all this stuff. Yeah, they need to keep Oates. For me, other than Reynolds, and he's the next priority in signing for me. They need him right now. They need his size and his experience. And the fact he's gone back to scoring tries is just gravy on top of that.
I reckon they let him walk. They've got Jesse Arthurs for next year and just throw him on the wing.
Well, do they though? Because he threw out a few things he wants to stay at Warriors. If he stays at Warriors...
He's got no choice. He's on loan. He has no say in this. There's no leverage.
If he rings them up and goes, I want to stay here, I think he'll have it. I think they'll let him.
Well, if he does that, then yeah, you could. Then you've got that spot.
That's what I said. I just don't see Oates. I can't imagine. Oates needs to stay.
Yeah.
He really does.
So I think it's quite funny. I think the only people, I guess, that are generally happy out of all this are Broncos fans, because I think most of them were extremely pissed off when they let Walsh go, and that was the previous management, well, outside of Ben Eichen anyway, and now they've seen him come back, so that's obviously good, having a young, talented junior come back. So what I was thinking, and I talked about this, I think, with Wild way back. I think it might have been pre-season. We were throwing out crazy concepts and we're talking about, I obviously love trade windows and prospects and all that sort of stuff. So I was thinking after the third State of Origin, I think into the last third of the season, there's a two-week trade window where players can switch clubs. Sorry, clubs can make deals to switch players. So the teams heading into finals in the last third of the season can bulk up in positions of need. So they may have lost someone through injury or whatever, and they just need something else for the last third of the season. Generally, they'd be dealing with teams that are outside the top eight that really don't have a chance of making the finals. And the hierarchy in the clubs pretty much already know that. I'm not going to say it to the media or say it out loud in the public sphere, but they'll be planning for 2023. So I did up some hypothetical trades and asked Jared and Wald to give me three clubs. Jared never got back to me.
I gave you an answer.
Yeah, but yours was dumb, so I didn't use it. But I will. I've got to give the stipulations. So I asked them for three teams that are in the top 10. I should have said top 11 because it's the same same points. So it's pretty much from the Raiders in 11th on 14 points up to the Panthers on 30 points. So give me three teams that'll be playing finals this year. That either think that they're better than they are, or know that in order to compete, they need one extra player, a key player. And Wall said Manly, Dragons, and I forgot now, I'll have a look. Jared said Parramatta three times.
Fuck, I'm funny.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Which I think, like, he said Parramatta and they're better than the teams that Wall and I put in, I'd say, pretty easily.
But I did say Parramatta three times, by the way.
Oh, you said Parramatta and Eels. Wall said South, Broncos, and Manly. Said,
I'm funny.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, very funny. So, yeah, Wall said South.
That's the most right, though.
I had Canberra, Broncos and Manly. So we were definitely going to do Broncos and Manly because both Wall and I had both of them, but we can't anymore. So I think then I've done up a Dragons one as well for now. So how I looked at this was which team in the bottom eight, really, or the teams that aren't going to be able to play the finals, have a player who's good enough or elite enough that if he went to one of these contending clubs, they would be willing to give players back. So the stipulations on this was the teams, it's going to be Canberra, Manly and the Dragons. They would get this player for the rest of this season and then the rest of their contract. The players that they give up, they'd give up for the rest of this season and the rest of their contracts. So it's basically a player that the contending teams would have for the rest of the season that would give them a better chance of winning the premiership and then also set them up moving forward as well. Now, we'll do the Broncos one really quick because this is kind of null and void because the player I picked was AJ Brimson from the Titans because I don't see how the Titans moving forward are going to be able to fit him. Remember, they've got Kieran Foran coming next year to play 5'8". They've got him for two seasons. They've got Jaden Campbell locked up for 2024. They've got Tanner Boyd locked up till 2024. They've got Toby Sexton locked up till 2024. And they've got Aaron Clark locked up till 2023. Now, Brimson is on $600,000 through to the end of 2026. So he's one of the longest contracted players in the whole league. Okay. So I said out of every team that's not going to make it most likely, Titans, Tigers, Bulldogs, Warriors, Knights, who's got a player who they would be in a position that they could give up that's not going to affect their long-term trajectory majorly if they get pieces coming back. Now, in my opinion, Brimson's the best player out of all those I've mentioned from the Titans. That also means he'll get a better return from any other clubs. And he's probably the only one that other clubs would actually want that could help them in the finals.
Fifita would.
Yeah, Fifita's played one game this season, or one game in the last 12 weeks.
Yeah, but he could serve a purpose to a Melbourne or a Penrith team. Well, it's like Pango G.
He could. The difference is most of these better teams are tighter on the salary cap. You're looking at $1.1 million to $600,000, so it's a $500,000 saving. And you've also got to pay that contract next season as well. So you've got to be able to fit it into the salary cap. So the players coming back have to have about even or even less, if you can, impact on the salary cap overall. So what I had lined up for the Broncos was two hypotheticals. One for one was one, or one for three was the other. So Brisbane get Brimson on $600,000 through to the end of 2026. And in my head, he slots straight in at their fullback, solves that issue, yeah, and is the Broncos fullback moving forward for 6 years or whatever. If they do want to shift Selwyn, then they can use Brimson as a utility. But we're just looking at Brimson for here. So going back the other way, what do the Titans most need? They need either impact out wide or some workhorse, like X-factor workhorse to take the load off Tino. That's when I looked at the Broncos page. There's nothing really in the outside backs that they could trade because you've got Farnworth, who's only there for one more year, so it doesn't really give the Titans much. And you got Jordan Pereira. They're the only two outside backs that are signed next year outside of Stags, and they're not going to give up Stags. So I had to look at forwards. So Brimson goes to the Broncos. Titans get Brenton Piekura, Xavier Wilson, Keenan Palacio. Piekura is the only player out of Canberra, Broncos, Manly that's earning over $350,000 because he's the only one whose salary comes up. So he's on 400,000. Xavier Wilson's on a development contract. He's signed through the end of 2025. And Keenan Place is just signed till the end of this season. So they'd have to re-sign Palacio. What do you reckon about that? Broncos get Brimson. Titans would get Piacura locked up till the end of 2024 on 400,000. He hasn't played a game for the Broncos this season, but he did play for the Cook Islands. Keenan Placey has played every game for the Broncos this season, either at prop or second row. And Xavier Wilson, who played in the NRL last year, but has come back from ACL and has been named on the interchange for the Broncos this week.
Yeah, it's a better deal for the Titans.
You reckon?
Yeah, they get Broncos future.
Yeah, and I picked the second row for the Broncos, though, because they're still, even if you take those three out, you've still got Capewell, you've still got Ricky, you've still got Hetherington, you've still got Carrigan, you've still got...
That's essentially Broncos' future you just gave up there.
Yeah, and so are all the players I just mentioned. I didn't mention anyone old then except for Capewell. So I reckon they... Oh, you've got... Ricky has said...
And TSD Rabadi.
Yeah, Rabadi. So they've still got a whole bunch of young forwards, and that also opens up more positions for them to sign
more youngsters as well. There is going to be clubs licking their lips looking at the Broncos right now, because someone's going to go. They've got too many.
That's why I've got too many
fucking players.
And the key to me here is it's a switch now. So they get Brimson for the rest of this season, straight up, and Titans are going to get Piacura, who hasn't played a game. Wilson's just come back from ACL, and Placia. So they're not going to get a hell of a lot this season, the Titans, but this sets them up for the years to come in their forward pack to build around Tino. Do you think there'd be enough value for the Broncos to tick off on that one for this year based on where they're at and their problems at fullback? You reckon?
No, not worth it. Not even close. AJ, T-Marie Martin is doing a serviceable job back there. They've got enough attack through Stags and Farnsworth, Cobbo and Oates to warrant another ball player. And he's a safer option than...
I'm just going to say that generally safe doesn't win premierships. You've got to take a risk here or there. And you've got to think Broncos are in a window. Well, that to me, they're not in a window yet, but they're very close to opening a premiership window.
Yeah, and look, AJ Brinson would be fantastic, but we all know that you need depth in your forwards, and those are three very quality young players you are getting rid of who can play prop, who can play everywhere in the forward pack. And T-Marie Martin is doing a very, very good job, a lot better than I expected at fullback this year. And they have got too many attacking threats. They need someone like him who can create. But Ezra Mann does not create much. What?
Brimson's much more creative than Martin.
Yeah, but it's not worth it getting rid of those three. How's this? I agree temporarily for the end of the year, but I don't agree for 5 years' time.
That's the thing. That's the thing. You could do rentals, but rentals are generally,
right now that's what they're needing, but not for next 5 years. No way.
Yeah, but you don't generally. If you're going for a premiership, you think of that year. That's why I'm trying to put these stipulations. What teams are there this year that think they've got a chance of winning but need something to put them over? Right now, the Broncos aren't winning the premiership.
Yeah, and that's why I think we should be talking about rentals instead of six-year contracts.
Yeah, but to pick up a rental, you've still got to be giving back almost just as much. That's the point. So if you pick up rentals, if you're picking a rental up, you have to overpay. You have to. Otherwise, the team giving up the rental doesn't have to do anything. There's no point.
You know what they can do? Give Gordon Tallis back.
Yeah, there you go. All right. I'll send the other one. It was just a straight-up one for Payne Haas, but it looks like he's not going to be there anyway.
If they lose him, Xavier Wilson better do a bloody good job.
Yeah. All right, let's jump to the Manly Sea Eagles. So Brimson's going to be the one player, obviously, for the four teams. So Manly get Brimson on 600K till the end of 2026.
You say they swap him for Harper, you can go just walk away right now.
So Manly's need obviously is going to be 5'8" because they're losing four. Schuster was
your boy.
Yeah, but we're talking about the rest of this season. Right now, Manly can't win the premiership as their team is. Brimson had slot straight in at fullback for the rest of this season, which pushes Garrick back to the wing where he's more suited. Although he's playing well, having a similar impact to what Martin is over the last couple of weeks, allows Tupou to play centre and Harper can go somewhere else. So it does then give Manly that selection headache next year with what to do with Schuster and obviously the talk around the 5'8", all that sort of stuff. But if a team's trying to win the premiership, they generally wait for things next year for next year or the off-season. So Titans not looking to do anything this year, looking for players that they can use moving forward.
They could sign Cherry. Oh, wait, they already did that.
They could, but they don't need anyone in the spine, and hence the point of getting rid of Brimson.
Old long neck back flipper himself.
Cherry and Foran, there you go, take both. So I looked at players around the fringes of Manly that I think they'd be willing to give up, especially you've got to look at if they give these players up, it's not going to affect their run at a premiership this year. That's the point of the trade. So this is the only one where it's three, standard NRL players. All three players are in the NRL. They've played in the NRL. Ethan Bullimore.
Oof.
Brad Parker.
Oh.
Carl Launton. So you've got Bullimore and Parker signed on till the end of next season. Launton is signed on for the end of 2024. And we've seen how much impact he's had at Manly. He's obviously out with an ACL for the rest of this season. Doesn't matter for the Titans. But they could really use a player like him either coming off the bench or starting in their forward packs. They don't have any mongrel, and he's a get-in-and-does-everything sort of player. Bullimore's a fast-footed forward that I wish Manly was playing, but he's obviously on the out of there because he's not getting a run. And they're favouring players like Kepi and whatever. And Brad Parker's a solid defensive centre that the Titans don't have.
Where does Brimson play next year?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's for this year. That's the point of the trade. That's the point of getting someone for the rest of this run. I said next year's problem you deal with in the offseason. So Broncos would have to do the same thing.
We're back to rentals.
No, you're so dumb.
No, but
Brimson for the rest of this season.
Throughout this whole theory pack, but what you're asking me right now is my opinion on how it works with Manly
for the rest of this season.
No, because you can't think of 7 games,
Jared. You don't understand the concept of trading to get better to win a premiership. It's this year's premiership.
You're not
going to
win a premiership, even with Brimson.
Oh, for fuck's sake. You're looking at this way too. Professional teams generally are overconfident about their chances, hence why they try to make their teams as good as they can. Generally, they think that they've got a better shot than the general public does. Does Brimson going to Manly make them better this year by getting rid of those three?
No.
How would that not make Manly better this year if they had Brimson for the rest of the year?
Because Cooler should be playing fullback.
He's not.
But how do you know Brimson will get the one jersey?
Because he's played more fullback than the others.
There's so many theoreticals right now.
There's not. You're making it way too complicated.
No, I'm not, though, because what you're doing is just looking at it in a rose-coloured glasses right now. What you're doing is going, you know what, for 7 games or 7, whatever. How many games are left this year? You're trying to make Manly good for 7 years and fucking up your roster for the next 5?
See, this is why it's so hard to try and explain how other countries' sports. That's what you do. If you're trying to win a premiership and it screws up your future for the next 4 years, if you win that premiership, it's worth it. Doesn't matter.
I can think of three clubs off the top of my head that would disagree with you right now.
Okay.
Look.
That's 3 out of 16.
Three clubs that are perfect examples of rugby league. Bulldogs.
I can also think of
you,
12 Manly? Clubs that haven't won a premiership in, what, 20 years?
Yeah, but...
So if you win one, it's worth it.
No, it's not. Look, from someone who tried... came within one game of winning the grand final in 2004. That's what one game of winning the grand final means. By using this method currently that you're throwing out,
mm-hmm.
and then copped 8 years of hell on earth, again, absolutely flogged every single thing mm-hmm. for 8 years and winning like three.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get it wrong.
But
at least you shot your shot.
No.
All right. Or you can just leave in.
Well, see, what you're throwing out here, what you're throwing out 20
years like the Tigers.
What you're throwing out here is literally just, as you said, shooting your shot, winning a premiership, then having 6 or 7 years of pain. Like Bulldogs, think about it. Bulldogs done what you're doing in 2014. Mm-hmm. If they won that grand final.
Trades didn't exist then.
What they did is they went for short-term gain,
mm-hmm.
overloaded their salary cap.
Mm-hmm. You're also talking about buying like 8 players all in one go. That's not what we're doing.
But what you're doing right now
doesn't is messing up the salary cap
for 4 years. No, it's
not. Jared, I said that at the start. The salary cap won't change. Brimson's on 600,000. The three Manly players... none of them are on more than 300,000. So even if you add 300,000 up for those three, Manly's getting a net gain of 300 grand.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No.
To me, it 100% makes Manly better for the rest of this year because Bullimore's not playing, Carl Lawton's injured, and Parker's not playing at this moment anyway because he's injured.
Yeah, I will...
Jesus
considering
Christ.
What's happened in the last 15 years in the NRL, I will never agree with short-term gain.
Oh, God, I need well on the
podcast. Ever again. And I guarantee you, if you got a Bulldogs fan on right now, they would agree with me.
Yeah, well, we're talking to a Knights and a Bulldogs supporter. Teams that haven't won a premiership in God knows how long, and you wonder why. They don't
take it.
All right, here we go. I don't know if there's worth going on. Or you're not grasping the concept. All right, let's go look at another one. Canberra. Now, this makes even more sense now with Nickel Cookstar leaving because he's your new fullback. Brimson just comes straight in, plays fullback. There you go. Brimson comes in for the Raiders, makes them better straight away because their fullback is, I don't know, because they keep changing it. Titans get a center or a winger in Nick Cotric till the end of 2024, and they Hold get up. Corey Howard and Ira till the end of 2025.
Hold up. I just want to backtrack a little bit right here. Short-term gain for long-term pain. How many Bulldogs fans are happy about their 2012 premiership and then for the next 10 years struggle as fuck? The struggle is real.
All right. Yay or nay on that one?
Nay.
You're just going to say nay on all these. All right. I know I'm right on this one. Let's move on. God. One day the NRL is going to become a professional sporting league and we'll be able to like grow up like the rest of the world. But anyway.
Just because you believe Americans do this.
No, the Premier League does this. Even the NBL does this.
Why do we have to follow every sport? We've got a better product.
Okay, that's fine. Unless you're the Storm or Penrith the last couple of years and you've worked out the best way to get your development through, create the culture where everyone's going to re-sign, for less. And if you do lose players to free agency, et cetera, and you can fill them with extra talent, go that route. It's the best route because you don't have to worry about things like this. But there's a reason on
how to do that instead of this.
Well, that'd go for longer because there's only been one club that's been able to do it. The rest of the clubs are still trying to work it out. Penrith's getting there, and they've shown it for 3 years. Melbourne's been doing it for 20. So if every club could do that, every club would have won a premiership within the last 20 years. And there's been, from my count, from what, 2012 through to now, five out of 16?
Why shouldn't we? So instead of...
Throwing out a different way to try and get your team better, to give them a premiership run. If you do a perfect trade, and I've come up with these without knowing the salaries of everyone, because we don't have a transparent league, so we don't know all that, which is dumb to start with. But obviously, if you're doing it more of a team-focused one... How much do you earn
per year?
Me on per year? 101.
You get 101 per year. So you're perfect.
Well, that's what it says, gross. So in Australia, that's probably about 56 or something.
But why do we have to get these guys to tell how much they're on? If I wouldn't like to tell everyone how much I'm on.
Because I think fans have the right, especially considering we pay for the league based on our viewership, based on our putting our money up to go to games, all that sort of stuff. I think we have a right at least to be able to understand where our club is positioned right now, what our club looks like going into the future. Going,
hey, how much are you guys earn? We pay your salary.
To who?
To the pub.
Sure.
It's the same thing. If you
know the difference? I could jump on Google right now and type in hospitality wages Australia and it'll come up. Because everyone's paid the same.
It doesn't necessarily mean you. Trust me, wages vary from different people.
That's true.
Point is that I don't believe we need to delve into their personal lives.
Nah, I'm looking at it from a club point of view, not a player point of view. Ugh. Anyway, let's move on, eh? Signings news. We've already covered Cookstart and Walsh. Brighton Okorah has extended at the Sharks till the end of 2025, played 76 games for them. Freddie Lustig will remain with the Warriors. Let's just put an asterisk on there just in case, till the end of 2024. Wait, after signing a contract extension. Did we? Oh, yeah. Fafita. Yeah, that's right. Warriors, it's just so hard to keep up with. NRLW signings. Jada Taylor has signed with the Roosters, as well as Sam Bremner for the 2022 Premiership season. They'll join Shannon Rose, Jasmine Strange, and Angelina Tikarana Katoa at the Roosters, who have now completed their NRLW squad for their title defence. Titans, we know, have signed Destiny Brill, Shania Power, and Jamie Frassard from the Knights. Alrighty, injuries news. So Campbell Graham's going to miss Saturday night's game due to a facial. He's also got a facial injury. So he passed the HIA. There we go. 23-year-old has spent some time on the sideline after a fracture to his eye socket. That's why you don't smack people's shoulders with your cheek. Hami Saleh is set to miss up to 8 weeks after picking up that hamstring injury. Liam Knight picked up a season-ending ACL injury in reserve grade. Mark Nichols failed a HIA. He's been named to play, but is unlikely to take the field. Remia Smith will miss the remainder of the season for Melbourne after re-injuring his pec muscle during rehab. Oof, bit of a dent there. Nico Hines and Toby Rudolph have been ruled out for the Sharks this week after testing positive to COVID. We talked about Payne Haas is going to be out. Tamari Martin, Corey Jensen, TC Rabadi, Brendan Piakura are all out for a bunch of different injuries. Oh, ow. Davida Pangai Jr. suffered a rupture to the plantaris tendon, which lies adjacent to the Achilles. Should be back by round 19. Declan Casey suffered a concussion against the Sharks. Has to go through protocols to be able to play. Cohen Hess aggravated a shoulder injury and was unable to return. He should be available in round 18. Ryan Madison, Jaden Brayley, Tessie New, Bradman Best should all be back this weekend. Should. And Jaden Campbell is on track for a return in round 21 from his hamstring injury. So a fair bit there to get your head around. So make sure you check on that if you're a bit unsure with regards to your club. Remembering there are only 8 clubs playing this week because of the byes. All right, let's go through the 4 games on the slate for this weekend and kicking off the round. Thursday night, 7:50 is Sharks versus Storm, and yet another Sharks-Storm game, like the one earlier this year down in Melbourne, where we are going to be missing a bunch of the key players, unfortunately. So Nicho Hynes, Sivioro, if we already mentioned. So Braden Trindle comes in at halfback. Andrew Fifita jumps in the starting side. Braden Hamanuele makes a return from a pec injury off the bench. Talakai's out on origin duty, so Connor Tracy comes into the centres. For the Storm, Dean Irima comes onto the wing. Nick Meaney moves to 5'8". Jaden Nikarima drops to 18th man. Brand Smith starts at dummy half. Josh King plays at lock. And Solomona starts at prop with Tui Kamakamika on the bench. So a bit of shuffling for both sides here. Sharks at home. And obviously both sides missing their State of Origin representatives.
Yeah, Sharks are $2.15, Melbourne $1.71. Without Hynes, I don't see much out of Melbourne. Cronulla, especially losing Talakai as well.
What odds did you have then?
$2.15 Cronulla, $1.71 for Melbourne.
So I got Sharks $2.75. Storm $1.45.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sharks for me in this one. Pretty simple. Melbourne
for me. I was gonna say they're thinking along the same lines as you.
Yeah. I don't see Melbourne dropping this one. Cronulla might come out and smash it, but I doubt it. I think Jerome Hughes is a class above everyone else on that field, to be honest.
And Papenhuyzen was pretty solid in his return last week, you'd say, against Manly. Well, in the second half, anyway.
Unfortunately, and this is going to sound horrible, but Papenhuyzen came back smack bang in the middle of the origin time. Theoretically, he would be playing for New South Wales next week. So it kind of worked out for Melbourne that he got injured. I know that's horrible, but having him in this game with Jerome Hughes, like, I don't see Cronulla being able to handle that.
Do you know who's quietly been playing pretty well?
Who? Boyle?
Defensively last week.
Yeah. He is a quality player, but
he put looks a shot so, on.
He looks so much better with Nicho Hynes there next. And I was actually pumping up Braden Trindle to be the star at the start of the year. But, yeah, he Moylan's doing a really good job. But, yeah. Yeah, you know, Meaney's a serviceable six as well. Like he seems to be mixed to fix it for Melbourne this year. Very disappointed about Remus Smith.
Yeah,
Melbourne, but
depth being tested.
It'd be good to see
Grant Anderson.
It'd be good to see Dale Finucane play a full game because he was teed up to play against them full strength last year and got knocked the fuck out early in the year. But
So looking at the forward packs, it's pretty much a wash, really.
Well, no, yeah, it is, but you still got a soft for Solomona and Bromwich up front with Bromwich in the second row. Whereas Cronulla, you know, Hunt and Fifita, they're good. Graham
Brayley over Smith. Bromwich over
Lewis. Like Graham's struggling. But I just think the difference will come from Hughes and Papenhuyzen.
What about the bench?
Well, Wishart, Cameron Kamika, McDonald, and Jordan Grant with Tolman, McInnes, Wilton, Hamanuele.
You've got to give that to the Sharks.
Only because of Wilton.
Oh, come on. Cam McInnes outdoes anyone on the Storm bench.
I put Wishart better attacker than him. All right, moving on anyway. Jeez. You picking Melbourne?
I will.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be as cut and dry as you were saying, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bit of money going the Sharks' way. But even then, even for the Storm, $1.45, it's not bad.
Yeah. Next game, Friday night. First time Newcastle get to play a 7:55 Friday night game. Newcastle versus South Sydney. Newcastle $2.60. South Sydney $1.50. I wanted to say, throw the Newcastle bias out. This is purely from a football fan. It's great to see Jaden Brayley walk on the field this weekend again. One of the nice guys.
Yeah.
And he's coming off the bench, which is probably the better way. He tore his Achilles in the preseason. But no matter how what you think of each individual club, seeing someone come back from a pretty significant injury like this and come back full strength onto the field is always a good thing to see. I'm a fan, so it's good. I like it. For this one, you've got obviously the Origin blokes out with Gay Guy and Ponga. So Hoy and, well,
how good's he been?
He was shit last week. Best. He was fucking, everyone's blown up about it. Everyone's going, oh, Hoy should play every week. No. Best.
Didn't he score some well. Points?
What?
Didn't he score some points?
Him? You know what? We spent the first 10 minutes attacking Gold Coast line, and the one change we made was moving him out of the sweep role and putting Milford there or Clune there, and he scored tries out of it because he kept running the ball and getting caught on fourth or fifth tackle. Also, Bradman Best is back this weekend. I don't know if everyone remembers that dislocated elbow he got against Broncos. That was horrible, but it was the night Stags just destroyed him. It happened in like the 78th minute. So good to see him back this weekend. On this South Sydney side, as you said, Campbell Graham is gone. Damien Cook's gone. You got Sylvia Havili come in. Yeah. Cam Murray's gone. That's a big loss as well. Johnston looks like he's sick as well. Looks like he might be out as well. Alex Johnston, that's another big loss. But the big in, obviously, is Mitchell coming back in the second game. Obviously, he's just going to get better and better. But if Newcastle was smart enough to shut down Mitchell and on their right-hand side put some starch in their defense, I think we have a decent chance here considering Murray and Cook are out. Like, Havili's at 9, you are not going to get any speed coming out your hooker.
I don't think Havili's going to start at 9.
Well, is it him and Nikarima?
Nikarima. That's the smallest bench I've ever seen.
If Nikarima, Taf, Cheekham, and Mowali, yeah. But, in this game, I don't even think we need Marcus if Havili's at 9. We'll catch him anyway.
Yeah. I'd say Saluka Fifita is going to come in for Mark Nichols. So I reckon they'd probably start, or they might put Havili to lock, Nikarima to dummy half.
I don't think they're going to drop Nichols.
No, he has to pass concussion protocol and doesn't look like he's going to play. We just talked about that. He's still experiencing concussion symptoms.
Good little story here. Isaiah Tass.
If he goes off after I drop him from fantasy.
Well, he's been bouncing around the reserve grade in the NRL for about 3 or 4 years, spent a decent crack of time at Newcastle, and then went to Bulldogs. And he never really got a run at Newcastle, where he was one of the most – it was during that really shit period.
He went to Broncos as well.
Yeah, he's been bounced around a fair crack, but good to see him get a run anyway. All right.
What are you talking about? He's had like 5 or 6 games this year with the Rabbitohs.
That's my point. It was at Newcastle when they had that really rough run. They didn't do it. They didn't pick him at all. I'm picking Newcastle. Who are you picking?
I freaking hate the Rabbitohs because they keep just going up and down. I went against them last week and they just showed up and played killer, but it could have been the Mitchell. I'm going Rabbitohs because they've got...
Honestly, I'm just hoping having Brayley back, playing at Newcastle,
That's been your downfall this year.
We won last week. Playing Cook without Cook and Murray, we can have a decent crack here. Next, interesting sidebar to this game. So obviously Tigers beat Parramatta last time, but it's come out today or earlier yesterday, I can't remember, that Adam Dewey there's two stories from Tigers today. Adam Dewey has told Brett Kamoli he would rather play reserve grade at sixth than centres in first grade.
That's great. Shut up. You're a player.
And yeah, so
now go where I tell you.
Which, to be fair,
there's nothing. He's got no say in this.
He doesn't. But saying that too, I don't know why Dewey and Hastings haven't been halves for longer. I think that's the best halves pairing at Tigers by far. And I don't know why they're not trialing it. Like, what could hurt if they just put Brooks and Preston Subbers for a week?
I agree with that point. I also agree with Dewey shutting the fuck up.
The next point is Luke Brooks is actually teed off at the upper management at the West Tigers for leaking stories about him being dropped against the Warriors. He reckons that the senior, the board members have actually been leaking stories about what's happening in the Tigers.
See, that's something you can talk about because that's got nothing to do with actual...
That's right. And he's absolutely ripped him apart going, why would you do this? All this kind of stuff. Like, what's it? Yeah. So
good on him. $4 for the Tigers, $1.25 for the Eels.
Yeah, that's what I've got. Eels. You know what? Eels had a... Did they win last week?
No, they were beaten by the Rabbits.
Oh, no. Oh, they're going to destroy them. Yeah. It's going to be 40 points here. Yeah, I feel sorry for the Tigers now because, yes, they beat them last week. Last time they played, but sweet Jesus.
Not this time.
This is going to be horrendous.
There's always a team in the top eight. There's always one each year that doesn't lose anyone to Origin. And this year it's the Eels. There's one. But, you look at the rest of their squad there and it's pretty much like full strength. You don't generally see a top five, top six side full strength this close to full strength through Origin. So they're good, but not quite there. That's what they've been the last few years. Makes sense.
Next game, you've got the Dragons up against the Broncos. Odds on this one, $1.65 to Broncos, $2.25 to St. George. Not bad odds there.
I'm having a look. Sorry. If you're in fantasy league, Murata Niokore starting at prop might be a good pickup for this week. I don't know how much he is, but that's a...
I got a question about this Broncos squad. Why is Corey Pax and Tyson Gamble on the bench? That is, can this bloke just not play anymore? Please. Like, do me a favor, Walters. Just go away. He's not good.
Oh, Funapole is playing. Yes.
Who's this? Is that Zach Hosking in second row? We're not happy about that.
Hosking.
Yeah.
Xavier Wilson starts. Oh, it comes off the interchange for his first game this year.
And they've got Dean Mariner in the 20. Can you put Dean Mariner in the 17 jersey instead of Gabel? I want to see Mariner play. Get on St. George here. Yes, they're losing Hunt. I like Jaden Sullivan at halfback. But that forward pack, man, like DeBell on up front, Tarek Sims, as well said, has been playing pretty well the last couple of weeks. Jaden Sewer, Jack Bird, very different players, but they complement their outside backs very well. Sully's been killing it. And then, I'm very surprised by that St. George are so far out here. They're actually going to value about $15 on St. George to win this game, I reckon. It's not a bad squad. You know, you got Mbai, Molo, Woods and Molo on the bench. You've got the brothers coming at you. Like, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, you could... If you're the Broncos, you could even start Wilson at prop.
Their forward packs just dominates. And George forward pack just wins
game. I'm just trying to work something out. Put Reece Kennedy's a prop, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, put Reece Kennedy at prop for Placier. Take Placier and Wilson out. Put Logan Bayless on the interchange. And then AJ Brimson at fullback, and that looks a hell of a lot better. Because Placer and Wilson have beat the Titans. And you could still win this game. Dragons as well. What's Sullivan generally? Is he a dummy half or is he a half?
He is the... There's two young halves out of St. George. That's right. Sullivan and Amone. Sullivan is the better version. And I can't get why Amone is playing more of a run than him. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, Amone's still on a development contract, by the way.
What I would rather it's Fago going to center. Lomax going to six.
I had the best trade for the Dragons. I'm going to save it for a while because he'd be all over this.
You put John Rubin on the wing. All right, guys, before Adam tees off about trades again, it's still in my head.
See you later, Fangai Twins.
That's the end tonight. Jump on the tipping. Always buy Hop Nation, guys, because it's the best beer out there.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Hop Nation at Saccharomyces Beer Cafe Thursday night. If you haven't got a ticket, get there because it is going to be an awesome collab of beer and food.
Yeah, right. Happy age, guys. We'll see you later.
You went Dragons, didn't you?
100%.
Yeah. All righty. Value bets, do we have any this week?
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio.